You're listening to the Britain on Tour Travelcast with special co-host and four-time Olympian Mercedes Nickel. Brought to you by people who travel, people who love to travel, and all things travel.
$2 and a Casio.
After two podcasts, you're probably getting a better idea who he is, but his co-host Mercedes is way cooler than him any day.
That might not be what you want to hear.
Damn!
So keep packing your oversized carry-on, stop clapping and standing when the plane lands.
Stupid idiots!
And direct your attention to your Travelcast cruise directors.
Now here then, now here then.
Prepare
to blast off.
Ready to
blast off.
Knife
switch. Main switch on. Main switch on.
Here's Mercedes and BD.
Travel assholes. Mercedes.
So many of them out there.
So many of them out there. Welcome, my friends. Episode 2 of the Travelcast with my co-host, the great Mercedes Nickel. How are you, dear?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I got some slow jams going in the background with some jazzy slow jams.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. So things are good. And I just, you know, just kind of chilling. I've been traveling a lot last year. You know, I did 7 months out. How much did you do last year?
Not as much as normal. Well, that's not true. I did like a month tour. I can't remember.
But you travel from Whistler to Vancouver.
Oh, does that consider travel?
That's travel. That could be 3 hours of your life.
That's pretty sad travel.
That could be 3 hours of your life. But yeah, it's good to be relaxed for a bit. I mean, I just finished up in Europe again, but it was just a 1 month or a 5 week run, so it was cool. But yeah, I'm just kind of hanging in. And one of the articles that I wrote on DeanBlundell.com, our good friend Dean, who hosts this podcast, as well as some other people, including my co-host here, soon to be with her podcast, Travel Assholes.
Yeah, I think I read your blog, and I think I've been one of them.
You have been one of them. You have been a travel asshole. Well,
I've been traveling for a long time. You know, you start off, I think everyone kind of starts off as a travel asshole, and then they learn the ways. Am I wrong?
Right. Well, okay. So, shortly, we're going to be joined by a gentleman named Paul who travels around the world and writes for magazines and does all these different things. He's a travel writer. He touches on about new travelers a little bit. So you get a pass if you've never been on a plane before, but you only get a pass once.
Okay.
You only get a pass once.
That's fair.
And then after that, it's your job to learn how not to be a travel asshole. Mm-hmm. So you said you were an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into the article, define.
Oh, it's somewhere in the article.
Oh, okay.
That's, I'll just like let you know which one I think
like
I
you'll
did.
Just ring a bell.
Yeah.
And it'll be like ding, ding.
You're like, Mercedes did that.
Amongst other things.
Yeah.
Right? You must be surrounded by assholes all the time. Not just, you know, travel assholes, but there's people that do stupid shit, and that's a whole other article, but travel assholes is the theme of the day.
Yes, it is.
Which travel asshole are you? I wrote something a little while ago called Coffee Asshole, and that started a ruckus, because people were like, wait. Yeah, I guess I am a bit of a coffee asshole. So this should start some conversation with some people. Travel asshole. Tell me first and foremost, do you enjoy travel?
I do. I love traveling.
Do you enjoy being a seasoned traveler now that you've been through this shit and you know how to travel properly? Or are you, you know, does that define you now? Are you that travel?
I do like being a seasoned traveler, but the one thing that being a snowboarder is traveling with a snowboard bag is probably the biggest pain in my butt.
It's giant.
Luggage is
There's no way to not.
It's nice to go with like one bag.
Can you not create something like go on one of those Shark Tank Dragon's Den shows and create some kind of like mini like mini travel thing? You've traveled
a fold up snowboard? I don't think so. Not really.
No.
It would not work.
Well, there's your idea. Can we create something? No? No. Travel assholes. All right. So the thing is about the travel asshole that for me, there's different definitions of this, of these people. There's the people that like the discount air. There's people that do all the different things. The first point that I made in the article was, you know, the travel asshole who is trying to save a shit ton of money by flying discount air.
I think that's been me.
We're already ringing the bell. Now, let's keep in mind that I am not against discount air. I fly Allegiant down to the States. In Europe, it's almost exclusively discount air. Flybe, Ryanair, all these are... that's not...
But sometimes you don't know. Like, sometimes if you're going on EasyJet or whatever it is in Europe, right, they're like, ding, here's another fee for your bag. Oh, you have a carry-on? Ding, ding, ding. And sometimes you don't know.
Well, and the problem is...
I was that travel asshole. Especially with my board bag.
I will fly it. I will fly... Well, you must have paid tons in fees.
I don't want to talk about it.
I will fly it. But the issue is more the people who buy it and don't read the fine print. This, my friend, can hold you up in an airport.
Yeah.
In a queue for days, especially if you've got a giant snowboard bag.
I am that person. And then I'm arguing at the counter being like, I don't want to pay 800 Swiss francs for my board bag.
But ma'am, it's really 80. Did you not check the fine print, ma'am?
No, because I travel so much, sometimes I don't always read the fine print.
So we can basically end this discussion now. The first point, I thought you'd make it to 3 points before we had to ring the bell.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you read the fine print?
Because I'm in a rush and you don't think about it, you know? You're just like, ooh, got a good deal, booking it. You know, like as the snowboarders, sometimes you don't know if it's snowing somewhere, if the contest is going to be canceled. So you book last minute. It's already ridiculously expensive. And then you're just like, okay, ding me for my board bag. Why don't you just take all my money?
So then you just line up and make the rest of us wait.
It's really like not that long. I'm considerate to the other people behind me, so I'm not the full-on travel asshole.
But you've argued for...
I think I just get like really mad internally. And I'm
yourself?
Just like, take my credit card. Ugh.
Are you mad at yourself?
Yes. Because I didn't read the fine print. Okay. Moving on. I'm mad right now.
You're not flying this
time. I already paid extra baggage fees for my next flight.
Okay. Good for you.
You're welcome.
Listen, some people can't afford it. I get it. and I'm, you know, I fly as cheap. Let's not think. You know, discount air is great when it works.
When it works. Don't be the asshole. Okay. Noted.
That doesn't read the fine print.
Copy that. Right? Moving on.
Right, Mercedes.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, it's kind of like, you know, there's the whole thing with like not, you know, like trying to save 50 bucks, but then having to pay 400 bucks at the desk. So we've covered that. We're going to just make sure that like,
just read the fine print. Know what you're getting into. Know how many bags you can check in. Also, now some flights seem to charge for extra handbags. Things are changing.
No. Or at least get in front of the line of the person with the giant snowboard bag that didn't read the fine print. Next. Right. Next. We're going to talk about checked baggage in the overhead. Surely you've seen this dick that comes through and has the biggest, like the giantest bag possible and tries to fit it overhead. And then gets told by the flight attendant that it won't fit, so you're going to have to put it under your seat or ma'am. Mm. And then a giant argument ensues right beside me every single time.
Really?
Every single time.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, they tried to... And there's two people at fault here. There's the one that let them in to begin with.
Okay.
Right? Because I don't know about you, but and half the time, you know, you get this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's flight is extremely full.
Yes. If you would like to volunteer.
To check your bag.
For free.
Right. Just leave it with the desk and we'll check it for you.
I do that. I do that a lot.
I do it too. And no one really does. There's a lot of people that don't. So then they bring it in and it's bigger than what they actually checked.
True story.
And they try to put it. So Have you had this experience before?
Not really, like, people verbally yelling at the stewardess. But I just feel bad for the stewardess. I mean, A, they're not getting paid at that moment in time. They only get paid when the door closes.
Remember that. What decks?
I mean, that is some research right there. I think I read something about that.
I've got
that.
Flight attendants in my life. I'll have to double check with them because that's doubling down on travel asshole.
They're just being kind.
They're just
trying to help, and you're being an asshole trying to fit a bag that doesn't fit. Just put it at your feet. You're tall, that's your own fault. I'm short.
Yeah, right? Or prep properly.
Think ahead. But the one time, I'll just go back when you said volunteer to have your bag checked. I did that once, and I was very nice about it. It was my only bag that I had going to Cuba from Vancouver. And I went a week in Cuba with no bag.
How did you do that? How was that?
It was terrible. I literally was in a bikini the whole time, and then I got like a t-shirt from like the one store at the hotel and made that into a dress
sarong. What did the t-shirt say?
I love Cuba. Obviously. I love Cuba, but that one guy I do not love that made me check my bag.
For the record, for our American listeners, we Canadians get to go to Cuba. So we go down there a lot. That's right. We go down there a lot and buy cheap shirts that say I love Cuba and
make them into dresses. Big deal.
That's very nice. You did really well. So one of the things that, do you rent cars a lot when you go?
I try not to.
Or is it just, you know, is it so luxurious?
No, I take the train.
Team Canada that they
No, it's so ghetto that we don't have that. Canadian athlete. I always have to stress that. There's no funding.
It's not SUVs, it's Chevettes.
It's more like get on the train, figure it out for yourself.
Gotcha. Well, it's goals, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Goals.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the Olympics, you may just get to take a train. You may just get to take a train.
Sometimes it's faster, though.
Well, you know, I mean, there's so many assholes. There's assholes with rental cars, you know, that hold you up. There's
I feel like all of these assholes are in lines. Like, they're already agitated because they've stood in line and then they have to pay more. And then they've stood in line to get their luggage on the overhead. And now they're standing in a line at the rental car.
There's that. And then there's also, like, the Trivago guy and there's all that stuff to, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand. Like,
Blame the Trivago guy.
Well, you know, he doesn't.
The actor. It's his fault.
He doesn't iron his shirts. So, you know. That's one job he's got to do. But the issue is more, I use hotels.com a lot. I mean, I use it when I'm booking my own travel because I'll try to find a real good deal. Like, I'm not afraid to, you know, I'm Canadian. I got to find a deal, eh? We got to find as best deal as we can. But a lot of people don't understand that when you book on, say, Marriott.com or you go on the Fairmont.com or if you go on the super8.com or you go wherever Holiday Inn, wherever you're staying,
yeah,
you generally can get the same deal that you're getting from hotels.com. It's their job to kind of wrangle them together. Trivago.com. So I'm just saying, when you just be conscious of the fact that when you're in front of me in line checking into a hotel and you booked through hotels.com and they won't give you your Holiday Inn points,
well, that's just stupid.
You're costing me time because I get my Holiday Inn points. I'm just saying, it's all about
okay,
the
you know what? Maybe you just need to travel more and get every status card so you don't have to stand in lines.
Well, I've got all the status cards, so I just keep doing it. But there's a great scene in that movie Up in the Air. You ever seen a movie Up in the Air with George Clooney?
I don't know that I have.
So he flies all over the world for business. It's a great, I'm going to reference it a lot because it's a great travel movie. It's all about the points.
It is all about the points.
It's all about the points. And
then
it's
you
all
get
about
in the lounge.
And everyone gets all pissed off when you walk in front of them. That, I love that shit.
I love it too. Because I've lost my status.
You've got to.
It's devastating.
Can you not flash the Canadian card there?
What Canadian card?
Well, you know, when you get off the train.
Can you look at my Olympic rings ring? Don't you know who I am?
Can you go on?
I would never do that.
Can you? Can you Google my name? And
Oh my God, no.
Get like an extra breakfast?
No. Please don't Google me. Please don't. Don't do any of that.
But just, we're just, it's a lot of the travel asshole stuff is about prep. So we want to tell people, you can avoid being a travel asshole if you just prep a little bit more. Because you're holding us non-travel asshole. I'm a travel asshole because I'm just an asshole now. But you know, you could just prep. And, you know, I guess also don't stand up on the plane when it lands and stop clapping.
And start clapping?
Stop clapping.
Oh, like legit clap stop clapping. Like there's no reason to clap.
Like poke your head in, like when you see the pilot and be like, that was awesome. Thanks for getting us here. But what are you clapping for?
I don't know. I was always so confused when people started clapping. I'm like, is this our first flight? Do they not know that's what's supposed to happen?
Well...
Like, not the clapping, but the landing. You're supposed to land.
Safely. You do land. I mean, you can thank your flight attendant during the flight. You're doing a great job. But the clap is... The stand-up clap combo is real bad.
Oh.
Like, I'm standing up...
I don't think
up,
I've ever seen the stand-up and clap.
Oh, it's quite something to see.
It
happens in
newbies.
Towns like Wyoming.
I'm just trying to be positive for these new flyers. Just...
It happens in small towns.
Because they don't leave their towns.
We went on one of those planes, and it landed. It was great.
Oh,
so,
bless their hearts.
It's new travelers get a pass. I told you this. But if you've flown once, no, here's the problem.
Have you ever clapped, though? Have you ever joined in clapping?
I've never clapped on a plane,
I have.
Ever.
I've totally joined in.
To do what? Sing
I don't
a song?
Know. Everyone was doing it, and I joined in. You never know what you're going to do.
Is this how you tried alcohol for the first time?
No, we actually had a flight going into Costa Rica, and we went to land, and we had to swoop back up, and we did that twice, and then we landed in Nicaragua, and then we kind of all clapped, because we're like, we're alive.
Okay, so there's the alive clap. That's a different, you get a free pass for the alive, you know, clap, but the issue is more like, if you're flying from Calgary to Edmonton.
There's no reason to clap.
No. I mean, outside of, I guess for...
Is that, like, considered the nice asshole? A nice travel asshole? Because they're clapping? Like, they're not...
No, you're being an asshole because...
You're disturbing...
You're just disturbing my
ears.
That's right. I'm trying to finish this movie, you know?
Oh, my God.
And you're disturbing me.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
It's crazy. So you wanted to touch on something that I missed in this article.
Yeah, and I'm so surprised that it wasn't in here.
Well, I'm not very bright.
A lot.
I mean, I'm no journalist, as we can tell.
You know what, though? You probably don't always have a lot of luggage.
Well, I have people carry it on their back for me.
Oh, I don't. Canadian athlete, you know, carrying her own luggage.
That's right. Well, you should get somebody to carry it on your back for
you. Oh, perfect. Yeah, I
thought it came.
That.
I thought it came with your Olympic
if
ticket.
There's anyone listening, could you just come with me everywhere and carry my bags for me? Please and thank you.
Yeah, it's quite a great thing. You get it with Holiday Inn status.
Okay, so the thing is, you're standing at the carousel. There is a line. There's like a line around the carousel where not to stand. And everyone's inside that line at the front of the carousel, just waiting for their bags. And you're just, if your bag comes up, you they're all assholes. Because they're in your way.
Totally in your way.
Like, what's going to happen? Hopefully you fall on said carousel and like graze your face because you're
totally.
Just an asshole.
Well,
I'm passionate about this one.
And here's the thing. It all comes about paying. Like, everyone's travel experience would be so much better if they just had a little bit of patience. Now, I understand anxiety. I understand not wanting to fly or all the rest of it. That, you know, it's your first time flying or you're not a good flyer. I get all that. Everyone has to deal with shit in their own way. Mm-hmm. But patience. If people adopted, like, the plane has landed.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be the last person off the plane.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to the same carousel, standing behind all those assholes that you talk about, waiting for our luggage at the same time.
Yeah.
Running is not going to solve it. Running to the carousel is only going to add stress to your day or your spouse's day.
To get right there where it's coming out. And then yours is probably coming out last anyways.
Totally.
So just stand back. Take 5 steps to 10 steps back. And assess the situation. You can see everything from back there.
You could take a picture of your luggage before you check it on your phone. And while you're on the plane, you could show your bag to people and see if they'll get it for you.
Oh, you're a travel asshole.
Yeah, well, I'd be like, do you mind getting my bag? I'm just going to be over here sitting down.
No, just send that to the person standing at the front of the carousel. So since you're here, here's my bag.
That's right.
You get it when it comes out.
You get it when it comes out.
If you're so eager to stand right there.
This is a great idea. Anyone listening, we've just come up with a great new idea.
That's winning.
That's right. That's what happens when you listen to this quality programming.
Just be a travel asshole right back at them.
Well, just learn something. So earlier today, I had an opportunity to interview Paul. So Paul has a great podcast called The Paulcast, and Paul travels all over the world doing food and travel, and he interviews people all over this fine planet. And when I said to him, hey, check out the article, and he writes, he's a real writer. So, you know,
legit.
I said, when you're done criticizing my grammar, what do you got to add to the mix? So he joined me today for a couple minutes. This is what we talked about. All right. So on the line, Mr. Paul Feinstein, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Brent?
I'm good, man. We thought we would do a little review today, Mercedes and myself, about, you know, travel assholes around the world. No one travels more than you, I don't believe. I travel
Maybe you. You travel maybe more than I do.
I do try quite a lot, and so does Mercedes, but, you know, we're all out there discovering different kinds of people doing idiotic things as we travel around this planet of ours. One that can have a certain amount of frustration and some humor that adds to your day. Now, before we get going, why don't we tell the faithful here what Mr. Paul Feinstein's all about. You got a blog on DeanBlundell.com. You travel around the world writing about it. Give us a little bit of a once-over on you, and then we'll get going.
So I'm a food and travel writer. I'm a freelancer, so I write for a lot of major publications. I do a lot of articles for Travel and Leisure. I do big city travel guides for Fodor's Travel Guide, so both in print and online. And then I write articles for a variety of other publications, like Culture Trip, which is out of London, Lonely Planet, I'm sure you've heard of, and a lot of food sites like My Recipes and Food and Wine and stuff like that. I have my own website, so that's my own blog as well, and you can find me on all platforms at Mr. Paul Feinstein.
So, traveling this fine planet of ours, there's options, you know. You've got if you got some money, you get to fly a little bit more comfortable than others. If you are trying to keep it lean, you've got some discount air. They all come with an assortment of, you know, hilarity to some point, because someone's going to complain about something all the time. Someone's going to be, you know, no one's going to be happy even if they're flying business. It's just the nature of the thing. So one of the articles that I wrote on DeanBlundell.com was about travel assholes. And I want to touch a bit on that. I know that you did give the article a little bit of a once over. So I want you to add to the mix what I missed, because Mercedes and I have been talking about it for, you know, half an hour or so about the different people we're encountering. But I want to know who you're encountering and who we haven't talked about yet.
Okay, so a few things. Obviously, you touched on some really important ones, and you kind of got into a few others that I also want to sort of elaborate on a little bit. You gave a once over on first time flyers. I think the biggest issue with first time flyers is from start to finish on the entire process. It's not just not understanding how tickets work or going to a kiosk or understanding that there are baggage fees if you don't check in on time, but it's also not understanding how metal works in a metal detector and going through security. It's not understanding how an overhead bin works versus the seat, you know, in front of you and what can actually fit there. It's not understanding the armrest etiquette. It's not understanding when you stand up at the end of a flight, when you put your seatbelt on, how you put your seatbelt. I mean, everything a first-time flyer is just, it's insane that still exists, considering that there are 100,000 flights that go up and down every single day. That's a real number, by the way. And I just don't understand it. Anyway, so I don't really think they're assholes. It's more like seeing you know, like a dodo bird in the wild. Like I thought you were extinct. I did not.
I'm with you. I didn't know that it existed. That, I mean, I guess it does exist for people that don't, you know, I was late to flying. I really didn't start traveling till, I mean, if I want to be, you know, like maybe 20 years ago, but it's just one of those things. Like my kids are flying all over the world, but when I can get them out there doing it, but I know others that still haven't been on a plane. I got aunts that just flew for the first time. I got people that are flying for the first time. I'm amazed by it. You must be amazed by it. You see people everywhere.
I'm amazed.
You see people
everywhere.
But I give them a little bit of rope once they say I've never flown before.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't put them in the asshole category. No. It's more just annoying category. But so if you want to really go asshole category, my number one biggest thing is probably, well, is it my number one thing? I have it like a top four. We'll go with hygiene first. Like you're going on a plane, you're around a bunch of other people. Like, you know, this is very Larry David of me. It's like, don't wear shorts. Like, I don't want to see your bare feet. Like, I take a shower before you go. Like, if you're hungover, like, that's not my problem. Like clean yourself up before you get on an airplane. Because, like, I don't want to smell it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to touch it. Like, I want nothing to do with the person who's just like, get your shit together before you get on an airplane. That's number one. Two is food etiquette. So there's a lot of people don't think about this, but, like, you can bring food on a plane. You know, you could also get it, you know, when you buy it at the airport even, but like some food just stinks and some food is just a mess. And like, if you have kids like who you're bringing the food with, like, and it's wet and it goes all over the place, like food etiquette's a huge deal. And if it smells bad or it's like has the chance of like going all over the place, like if there's a kid sitting in front of you and his parents brought like food for the kid, and that kid spills it, it's rolling into your bag underneath the seat in front of you. It's just happening. Like, stuff is going to spill from a child in front of you. So, like, really be aware of that. It's the worst. Like, nothing's worse than, like, picking up your backpack off the floor and it's wet because some kid was in front of you who dropped his food or his whatever.
What's the craziest thing you found in your bag, like, in your hotel? And you're like, what in the hell is this? What is the, you know, has anything jumped out at you outside of creatures or animals that it might? You know, that's a whole other.
Nothing's ever like fallen into my stuff. It's more just like getting off the plane and realizing your stuff's just wet. And it's just like, why is this wet? And it's like, oh God, the person in front of me. That's the worst. Another thing is people who fly when they're sick and not really. Well, A, you shouldn't do it because you're putting a lot of other people at risk just right off the bat. But like, if you're sick and you're getting on a plane, like wear a mask, like get some gloves, like get some hand sanitizer going, like do the wipes. Like, I don't want to, like, I fly so much and getting sick is the number one thing that ruins my job basically. Cause I'm only in a place for 3 or 4 days and I got to work. If I get sick because of some asshole on the plane who was sick, like that's just really tricky. Armrests, another really important thing. The middle gets both armrests. That's just how it works. You get stuck in the middle, you get both armrests. The person on the left, you get the left side. The person on the right, you get the right side. But middle gets them both. It just, you got to know that. And if you don't, like if I ever get stuck in a middle seat, which is rare because I'm really good at planning my travel, and if some asshole is just like encroaching on my space, yeah, it's not great. Like it just sucks. And that's another thing that people just, they don't think about. A lot of people think that the plane's like their home. So like when they take their shoes off and put their feet up and it's just like, this isn't your home. Like you got to share it with all these other people, like be courteous. Also you talked about in your article, seat changing, like you're asking for seat changes. And a lot of times people don't realize, especially non-frequent flyers, that people paid for those seats. Like they paid extra to sit where they want to sit. Like, I'm sorry, you can't be like 4 feet away from your significant other for 3 hours. Like, I'm not moving. I paid extra to sit here. Like, don't, like, that's another thing. It's like it's an inadvertent asshole, but you're still.
Well, and people asshole. Just like, don't, it comes like, down don't. To planning too. And then I think it's, you know, obviously there's the, you fly discount air to save a few bucks. Sure. And in Europe, a lot of them are discount air. It's hard to get on one of the majors over there for the quick flights. So I just deal with it. But it's the, we're going to save $52 and then we're going to show up and it's going to be great because everyone behind the counter is going to just focus all their attention on me and my family and my seven kids and my bags. And they're going to move us all together because we tried to save a little bit of money and it holds the plane up. And it's just like, sometimes you just, you got to spend the $50. Sometimes you just got to do it. And people think that they're saving, but they're really not. Cause in the end they're not, it's, they're going to get charged extra stuff. I don't know.
No, it's so true. I have a standing policy. Anything from $0 to $100, if it increases my time or my comfort, I do it no matter what.
Agree.
$0 to $100, increasing my time or my comfort, I will spend it. And sometimes I'll go more depending on how long that flight is. But like $0 to $100, like that's not going to change your life, but it will make your time so much more comfortable. And it's just, you got to do it. You got to do it. Oh, you know, one other I just thought of. So, you know, when you're boarding a plane and you get on early, you get your bag in the overhead, and there's just like some guy and you see him come on. He's got a bag that you just know. It's like, how the hell they even let him on the plane? It's so big. And he gets to your overhead space and he just like smashes his bag in there like as hard as possible. Like God only knows whose stuff he's breaking or what he's doing. It just like has no regard for anybody else's property. Just like smashes it in there. That guy's an ass.
Yeah. And how did he even get to that point anyways? Like, I mean, everyone, I don't know what kind of like border or, you know, you are. I'm fine with being, I like actually being on before everybody, if I can help it. I try to get on.
But
I'm also completely happy to be the last one off and just take a finish reading a book, finish chilling, because everyone stands up and that's a whole other thing. You know, I'm not in a rush unless I'm in a rush to make a connection. It's really just like, it's part of the process because everyone else is panicking. And I find that when people are like, they stand up and they got to get their shit and then they got to get off. And when somebody like myself is sitting there calm, watching the end of the movie or reading a book, it drives them crazy. They can't figure out how we can be so calm and we don't want to get off the plane. I'm like, we're all going to baggage at the same time. The carousel will move at the same time. You might be in front of the carousel before the rest of us, but we're all getting the bags at the same time. So I just take my time. And I don't understand to your point about the cramming it in and the bringing all this shit on and how they even got past that person or how they even got past the gate with, you know, with that, or they get frustrated. They're not planning properly. It's just, it's all part of it. You got to plan. You got to plan. And people think that they can pull this off very last minute and it just doesn't work.
Brent, have you found there to be any particular place in the world that is worse than other places?
Well, okay. You know what? I'm Canadian. I love this country. But, you know, we spend a lot of time because of our proximities on the east and the west to Florida, you know, and then on this side to, you know, on the west side to Mexico and LA and things like that, that we have a substantial amount of discount air options, Toronto, Vancouver, and things like that, that get you to these places that are relatively affordable. So if you are taking a family trip or something down to Mexico or one of these places, you know, you get the Sun Wings and you get these places that are advertising like crazy. But I'm telling you, people just in their attempt to save a pile of money cause more grief, I find, in Canada. I really do. And I think I find that like Canadian flyers are, you know, because it's Air Canada and it's WestJet, and then you get Swoop and then you get, you know, Flair and you get some of these discounted airs that go from here. But I just find that because it is so expensive to fly in our country from coast to coast, that going down south, people look for Sunwing and they look for these discount air options that are really fast. You can cram as many people in. They don't have options. They don't have food. People are complaining about not getting a snack or whatever it is. And that, I just find it happens a lot here. And I don't.
But Brent, do you think it's like where everywhere you are, you're like, oh, California drivers are the worst. Oh, Canadian drivers are the worst. Oh, do you think it's like that, or do you think it's actually Canadians are terrible?
Well, it's just, I think it's options, if I'm being honest, because Air Canada doesn't, it's not like there's 20 airlines up here and everyone has to, you know, be on their game. Not that everyone's on their game in America, but I'm saying, or anything like that. But, you know, you do have United, American, you've got Alaska, we've got all some options that are kind of up here, but people, you know, it's Air Canada or WestJet, and the race between the two for service and customer service, it can sometimes be great and sometimes not like anything, but I have this thing, there's just something about a lot of Canadians love to talk about their deals that they got. Oh, we got it. You know, like we got a great deal. And so it is like middle America. I'm saying it that Kansas and like, I'm not saying all, I'm just, there's like, oh, I got me and the family. We all went down to like, you know, Cancun for, you know, $409. But, you know, it's like, well, we had to, you know, take 7 connections and we had to, you know, do this or that, or we all had to cram into one room on one bed, but we saved all this money. And I find that just transpires over to travel and everything, and all the asshole things come into motion at that, you know, at that sort of phase. They all, you know, the non-sharing of the middle seat, armrests and all that kind of stuff that happens. It's heightened for me, you know. It's just heightened for me. And I, around the rest of the world, a lot of the airports are smoother. A lot of the, I mean, YVR is amazing up here. The Vancouver airports here is really good. The Toronto airport is good. But it's just, I just find that we have a substantial amount of discount air getting out of the country options. And it creates a bit of anarchy for me. You know, I find anyways. I find it. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's just the way, you know, because no one's flying from San Diego to Whistler, BC, you know, and going, oh, we got this, you know, there's just a different mentality. People are vacationing to Whistler and they're going to spend money, right? If you're coming to Canada, you're going to spend money to vacation. If you're going to Mexico, mm-hmm. or if you're going to, you know, Florida or Disney or down to, you know, or the Dominican or Jamaica or whatever, as expensive as those places can be, there's still that like on vacation, get as much for our dollar as you can mentality. Whereas people coming this way, you know, you're pretty much, if you're going to come to Canada, you're going to spend money. If you're going to go to Switzerland, you're going to spend money. If right. you're going to go to London, you're going to spend money. So it just drives me a little wacky. Yourself, what have you found? What did you find?
Right, but so sort of like what you just said earlier, I have, as I've gotten older, I have an infinite amount of patience. But I have found is just from a flying experience alone, the worst experiences I've had were in China. Just from like, especially when the plane lands and people just like the plane's not even taxied yet and people are just running up the aisles, like trying to get to the front of the plane and pushing people out of the way. And I'm just like, I've like never seen anything like it. Now, granted, you have 500 million people who are literally first time flyers because they just like the whole, you know, it's 500 million people who never had money before and now do and are flying for the first time. So there's a bit of a learning curve, but I have had some horrendous experiences throughout China. Unfortunately,
we've flown to, my wife's Chinese and we've flown there a few times, and it depends. Like when you go into Shanghai, we go into Nanning, we go into some of the bigger, you know, airports, and then you got to drive from there or whatever to where we got to go. And you know, a lot of it is, I mean, it's not jammed down anyone's throat there as far as travel. Whereas on the West here, it's like leave your country and go be warm, especially in Canada. But go be warm there. It's like, you can't leave your country. You know what I mean? So there's, it's, you're right. So man, there's people everywhere, isn't there? So
there are people everywhere. I would say the best experiences I've had were in Japan and, probably it. It's probably Japan. It's probably
Seen the movie Up in the Air, right? And of course. You know, George Clooney breaks it down real good. That's the check-in and all the rest of it. That's great.
Get behind the Japanese businessmen. They're just efficient.
I think I even put a YouTube clip of it on that article where it was like, you know, and she thinks he's being racist. He's like, no, it's, you know, I'm just telling the truth. This is the way it is. They're just them. So it's funny. So.
Well, I always quote, when something like that happens, I always quote Seinfeld. It's like, I'm not being racist if I like the race. Like I'm commending them on their efficiency.
Awesome, buddy. Well, thanks. Thanks for the time today, man. We're talking travel assholes on the Brenton on Tour travel cast. You've got a podcast of your own. Tell us all about it, sir.
So the Paulcast is a food and travel podcast. And the conceit is because I'm traveling all over the world, seeing unbelievable things, eating unbelievable food, I'm going to be interviewing, you know, the people in those places on location. So my audio quality will never be as good as Brent's, but it will be in the field, meeting some of the most interesting people in this travel writing world that I'm in. So
make sure you check it out. MrPaulFeinstein.com, correct?
Yeah, and the podcast is called The Paulcast, PAULCAST.
Which also can be found at our good buddy DeanBlundell.com, who's hosting us over there and doing great things for people like you and me that are traveling around and have something to say. So I appreciate the time, sir. Make sure you guys check out Paul's podcast, The Paulcast. Send him a note. He'll tell you about more assholes, I'm sure. And I'm sure you're up for any travel advice. You got a lot of articles on your website as well for people that can learn a few things. So appreciate the time, sir. Thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks, Brent. Take care.
So Paul touched on a couple of things there. Paul touches on hygiene.
Yep. It's a big thing on planes.
I'm assuming you bathe before you fly.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that, you know, and we're not asking people to put on loads of the Sears or Bay perfume.
Don't do that. That's also an asshole move.
Right. But, you know, clean it up a bit.
No, I'm almost going to vomit because I sat next to a guy who I don't think had showered in a month and nor cleaned his clothes in a year. And I had to, like, I actually went to the stewardess and was like, is there any way I can move? They're like, there's one seat in the middle of someone else. And I was just like, that's a dick move. So I just covered my face in my scarf and, like, tried not to vomit.
You were a gracious.
I feel like I get like 10 gold stars for that.
When he looked over at you and you were covered up like a mummy, were you like, well, it's mostly because you smell. Did you do that?
I didn't have like the heart to say anything, but I think you figured it out.
That's why I've got you as my co-host, because you're all class. That's right.
He could have murdered me.
That's right. Why did you cover yourself up? Well, you know.
But then a meme going on social media right now is someone on the plane in the bulkhead with their socks off, flicking the Netflix channels.
Got that. Saw that.
That's not okay. It's not right.
I see it. What about, are you a shoe off person on the plane?
I take my shoes off, but I put them back on.
Okay. Fair enough.
When I go to the washroom.
Yeah, of course.
Some people don't.
Of course.
Gross.
Remember people. I think people forget where they walk.
Socks. You also have to have socks on. There's no barefooting.
People forget where they walk. Don't forget where you walk, people. You walk through like all of these places.
You're literally walking in someone's pee.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Moving on.
Speaking of travel assholes. Anyway, so when you didn't take the middle seat, Paul was touching on the middle seat etiquette.
Elbow room. Very important. If you have the middle seat, you get the rests.
Do you know that, people? Do people listening know this? We're here to educate you.
If you didn't know that, you know that the middle seat is the shittiest seat. And you need all the help you can get.
There's some people out there. They don't know.
I've been beside
somebody who's complained about the middle rest.
Oh, I bump them.
Yeah.
I move it.
Little elbow jab.
Yeah, man, that's my rest. And I'm usually in the middle. Don't ask me why. It sucks. Because I don't plan ahead and I don't choose my seat. I don't check in early enough.
Oh, boy. Here we are back to Mercedes not planning life.
Last minute
travel. Last minute travel with that goddamn bag. So, my friends, hopefully you've learned something this episode about not being a travel asshole. Any advice, Mercedes, for our listeners about how to travel better in 2020 and beyond?
Prepare and patience. Don't be that dickhead at the carousel. I don't know if I can say that.
You can say it's a swearing. Oh. It's a, and I can put some kind of thing over. Why would I though?
Don't be that travel asshole. Lessons learned. Right
just
here.
Be your own asshole. Like you're allowed to be a travel asshole enough to recognize, like make people recognize when they're being an asshole. Like, just clean it up, people. Clean it up, and we'll go from there. You'll make everyone's life better. Mercedes, where can people find you online?
MercedesNicol.com, NICOLL.
OLL. She's great. She's lovely. She's my co-host. Thanks for joining us this week on episode 2 of the Travelcast about travel assholes. Thanks to my buddy Paul from the Paulcast to come on and give us his take on travel assholes from around the world, because they do exist. Remember to like, share, get it out there, friends. You're going to win something really rad. Mercedes and I are putting something together for you. We're going to tell you by episode 5 what you're going to win, and it's going to be real special and awesome. It might even include a day with Mercedes, like where you might be thinking you're going to hang out for the day and learn how to snowboard.
It could be something else.
But she could just be sitting you in a chair and showing you how not to be a travel asshole.
Ooh, zing.
Right?
You never know.
You could teach some people some stuff.
I feel like we just did.
What about like a tour of Whistler?
The tour de Whistler.
Right, you can show them around.
I think I know where to go there.
Some places.
Some things to do.
Okay. Join us next week, my friends. We got a great guest. But you have to wait till next week to find out who that is. His name is Ray. I'm going to tell you that. His name is Ray. He runs places.
He loves it.
Like deserts.
I think you've given too much away.
That's it. That's all they get. And he also has travel asshole advice, but we're going to let you tune in next week. Until then, my friends, travel well, be safe, and stop being a travel asshole.
True, stop being that asshole.
See you next week.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of 5 podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.